We're continuing in our series on the happiest of men. We began in Psalm 1. Last week, I kind of took you through some of the Psalms that begin with the word Ashrei, which is the word that's used predominantly in the Psalms 26 times. It's not the standard word for blessed that you find the Barak is the word that's often translated blessed. This is Ashrei. And in Psalm 119, as you know, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are highlighted, and each of them are in eight sections or eight verselets. And each letter of the alphabet begins the first word of the section. And by the way, the number eight is very prominent in Psalm 119. And it's the word the number that represents wisdom. Wisdom. For instance, we find eight terms used in Psalm 119 to represent different facets of the Word of God. You have words like testimony, precepts, ordinances, statutes, word, commandments, law, judgments. Those are all different words that highlight an aspect about the Word of God. Eight of them. If you look over beginning in verse 23, for instance, you have eight verbs that are used in each one of those verses that describe how we are to respond to God's Word. And so you'll find this over and over again. There's all kinds of different things that are used, eight verses for each one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so as you begin Psalm 119, the first letter, which is identified by the word Ashrei, which is the word happy. Happy. Happy are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your Word and what an encouragement it is to our hearts as we gather together tonight to bring our requests before Thee. And Lord, as we have our souls strengthened by the Word of God, I pray that You would encourage us in this regard, and that we would not adopt worldly concepts or definitions of terms and pursue psychological things that are told that will make us happy, but rather understand that the Christian is different. The Christian operates on a completely different platform. It is the platform of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God living within us, that produces happiness. I pray, Father, that You would work in our hearts tonight as we consider the truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we said before, the word Ashrei is a unique word in the Hebrew. It's only used 45 times total in the Old Testament. The other word for blessed, which is Barak, Barak, that word is often translated blessed, and you'll find it many more times in the Old Testament than you find Ashrei. Ashrei has the concept or idea of happiness. Happiness. And it's rooted in something consistently throughout the Psalms. And just about every appearance of this word in the Psalms occurs in Psalms written by David. And that's an interesting link to this particular word, why he chooses this one. If there was ever a man that struggled with happiness, it was David. David struggled with a man that was seeking to kill him for 11 years of his life. You know, it's one thing to have someone attempt to take your life once in your life. But can you imagine a man pursuing you doggedly for 11 years? I would imagine most of us would say we would be very unhappy, constantly having to look over your shoulder, wondering if this was the day that a javelin would be thrown at you when you weren't looking, or someone would take a bow and arrow and kill you. We're not used to that, folks, are we? We're not used to people pursuing our lives. Yet David, the psalmist, lived with that. When he was just a young boy in the fields, what did he deal with? The Bible says that he killed a bear and he killed a lion with a sling. Now, most of us have not had to deal with a bear or a lion, and yet he did. There were things in David's life that could have robbed him of what? Happiness. Happiness. But we understand something. He found his happiness in areas that the world seeks happiness and cannot seem to find it. He found his happiness in the Lord and His precious Word. This is a beautiful picture. Notice this, please. Happy are the undefiled in the way, who walk in what? The law of the Lord. Now, this is one of the eight words that are used consistently throughout Psalm 119, and they are all different aspects of the Word of God. The law. Now, what is the law? Well, generally speaking, when you see the word law, it is a reference to what God specifically had told the Israelites that they were to obey and follow. We call them the what? The Ten Commandments. Now, there were civil laws, obviously, but these commandments, all right, they were not to have any other gods before them. They were not to follow after false gods. They were to honor their parents. All right? They were to not covet their neighbor's wife. They're just general things that are the basis of civilization, that bring order to home and nation. Do I hear an amen? They're just the basic things of society. Just about every law code in the world is built on the law of God. Isn't that interesting? It's built on the law of God. Happy is the one who walks in the way of the law of God. These precepts, when followed, lived, will bring happiness. I don't think anybody thinks it's a great idea to steal. It's not a good idea to steal. So if you don't steal, you won't be arrested. If you don't covet your neighbor's wife, you won't commit adultery. It's just basic, common sense type things that God has given in His law, the word that He has given to this world. Isn't it interesting what Paul said in Romans chapter 2, that the law of God is written in our what? Our hearts. What does that say? That the law of God, there is something within every human being that understands and knows that there's something wrong with lying. There's something wrong with coveting a neighbor's wife. There's something wrong with pursuing the gods, the false gods, and not pursuing the living God. It's written in our conscience. It goes all the way back to the garden. That's when conscience came about. Whenever Adam ate of the fruit, what was the immediate response? Everybody. He knew he had done what? He had knowledge now. He knew he had done wrong. He had violated God's command. He knew it. It didn't happen when Eve ate of the fruit. Isn't that interesting? That didn't happen. It was when Adam partook of the fruit as the federal head of the human race. He partook of the fruit and immediately they realized they were naked. They immediately, and the sin that they committed was something that most people would say, what's the big deal? They disobeyed what he said, but that's a big deal with God. It's a huge deal with God. The one command, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good. No prohibition on the tree of life. None. We have no record that Adam and Eve ever partook of that tree. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, They took it, and it was the knowledge of evil that they became aware of. Their conscience alerted them at that moment, because they had no consciousness of sin before. Now they have this internal sign that's been turned on within them that's flashing. All right? The yellow light. How many of you like to go through yellow lights? How many of you like the new yellow arrows that they have all over Florida now? All right? Well, there's been a lot of wrecks down there by Glover Lane and Highway 90 because of the flashing yellow light, because some people think, oh, that just means go. Well, you got to look down the road and see if somebody's coming. All right? Are you going to have a crash? Well, it's a caution light. It doesn't stop you from sinning, does it? The conscience doesn't stop you from sinning. The conscience is simply an awareness that you're about to go into an area that is wrong or forbidden. That's the point. So what does he say here in Psalm 119 and verse 1? That links to happiness in the sense of the Bible understanding of happiness, not the world's. I read to you last time, this psychologist that I shared with you last week that told us about what happiness is. Whenever we want to accomplish anything, she wrote, we benefit from creating a plan or a map to get there. The same is true for happiness. So once you know what happiness is, do most human beings know what happiness is? They have no idea what happiness. They think they know. They think that things will make them happy. They think that circumstances will make them happy. They think if I were just in another place, I'll be happy. If I were on the moon, I would be happy. If I were going to Mars, I would be happy. The people will list out 1,000 things that would make them happy. But that's not happiness. Happiness only comes through knowing Christ. And you know what we have in our possessions? This is Christ. Because what did John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So we have a link of Christ and the Word, and so this link threads through the Bible, and he says, happy are the undefiled in the way. How does a person become undefiled? What does it mean to be defiled? It means to be in a state of defilement. All right? Ooh, I went really deep with that. I scratched really deep on that one. Defilement. You know, I grew up, we used to go to City Park or Carpenter's Park as kids. And many of you that grew up in Milton knew the bathrooms at Carpenter's Park. They were the filthiest bathrooms in the entire city. When you walked in there, the stench was overwhelming, and they never got cleaned. And the smell and the flies and stuff, and as a kid, you dreaded having to go in there because it was so bad. That was a state of defilement. Something has to happen within the human heart to change that state. Who's responsible for that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes us from unrighteousness and makes us righteous, not in our own merits, but on the merits of Him alone who is righteous. Blessed, happy are those that are undefiled in the way. What is that? What way? What's that? Yeah, the way of life. The way in which we are going. Train up a child in the way he should go. You know, the way appears over and over and over. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, he implies what immediately in that statement? I am the way to the Father. Blessed are the undefiled in the way and who walk in the law of the Lord. And you'll notice in your Bibles that Lord is all caps. And that's always a reference to what name? Yahweh, right? Yahweh, all right? Jehovah saves. That's the idea. Yahweh, blessed is he that walks in the law of Jehovah, Yahweh. He's the giver of the law, and he wants you to walk in that way. And what does he link it to? The very first word, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. What word did God choose in the narrative of Scripture to use at the very beginning of Psalm 119? It's our word for happiness. Our happiness is related to this blessed book and the Savior who's represented as the Word. The Word. That's where our happiness is. I mentioned this last time. Some of the happiest people I've ever met were people at Santa Rosa Nursing Home, convalescent center, who were bedridden. I will never forget a Mrs. Sapp who came to our services. Roger remembers Mrs. Sapp. When we were right out of college, we started going down there and doing services every week, and then it went to once every other week. And Mrs. Sapp was one of the faithful ladies that would come. She knew all the hymns by heart. She never used a hymn book. She couldn't see. But she had them all memorized. Toward the end of her life, she fell. She got wedged between her bed and the nightstand in her room, and it crushed her hip. The doctor decided at 89 it was a good idea to give her a hip replacement. She didn't survive it. I went to see her one last time at the hospital. I walked in there, and she had her eyes closed, and you could just see she was writhing in pain. She was gone 2 or 3 days later and went to her funeral. I saw people that I had never seen before. One of them went running up there and threw themselves on the casket. The men down there at the funeral home had to pull her away from, just carrying on. And here was a sweet lady that hardly ever had any visitors. But you know what? I never heard a word of complaint. She was a believer in Christ, and she was happy. She was happy. Happiness is not based on your circumstances. It's based on who you know, Jesus Christ. Happiness. Verse 2, because the word appears again. Notice this, please. Blessed, happy, ashrei, are they that, what's that next word? Keep his testimonies. There's another word for the word of God, a testimony. I am so thankful for the testimonies of God. What is a testimony? A testimony is a statement. It's a statement concerning someone's identity. A testimony. If someone gives a testimony in court, they are telling what they know, and they're supposed to tell the truth about it. Does God always tell the truth? Yes, He does. His testimonies, we're told in the Scripture, are right. They're right. They're good, we're told in another location. The testimonies of the Lord. Happy are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with their whole heart. So we see happiness linked again. Testimonies linking us back to Christ, the Word. But not only that, he goes on, blessed are they that seek Him with the whole heart. That idea of pursuing Him. We see in other places about the deer that panteth for the waters, so my soul thirsteth after thee. It's that idea there, that pursuit, that seeking after. Seeking after what? What are we told there? What are we seeking after? Well, it says very clearly that we seek Him. Him. Who is Him? Christ. Christ. Yahweh, by the way, is, I believe, one of the most beautiful words for Christ in the Old Testament. There are different people that say different things about that, but I think it's pretty clear that Jehovah, Yahweh, is a picture of Christ throughout the Old Testament Scriptures. And there we are to seek after Him. And then we're told how we are to seek after Him. Is how words important? Yeah. I have been known in my family for not reading directions. Buying something and not read, I'm going to figure it out. You know, how many of you are like that? You know, I said, I don't need directions for this. I can figure it out. And most times, we don't figure it out. Or it takes us three times longer instead of just reading the directions. Now, some directions, I have to tell you, solder, furniture, if you've ever bought any of that cheap stuff, their directions are so convoluted that they can't be figured out. You just have to just fight with it. And it's so cheap that if you do it, you put the screw in too tight, it splits the wood, and then it looks ugly after that. It's just, it's not good stuff. Their directions are terrible. It looks like somebody from China, they did it in Chinese, and then somebody tried to translate it and didn't do so hot with it. But here we're told how we are to seek Him. How are we to seek Him? We can understand that, right? With a whole heart. With a whole heart. I'll conclude with this. Roger and I were on the same ball teams for our first, I think, 5 years, 6 years we were together. We always ended up on the same team together. And we had a coach when we were age 8 and 9 that was also the umpire for the games. He was a huge man. He had a three-legged stool that they used for milking cows. He would sit on it. And he would call. He was our coach, but he would call. And he would talk to us the whole time. Get up there. All right, Todd, the last time you were up here, you struck out. Don't make me call three strikes on you. Now, you talk about pressure. You'd get up there, and then you'd swing. And he said, that was the most half-hearted swing I have ever seen. Put your whole heart into it. Roger, do you remember that? He would say, put your whole. And here was a man that could barely walk, who weighed 390 pounds on a three-legged stool, sitting behind us, said, that's not a swing. You call that a swing? Swing with your whole heart. Well, we knew what that meant. We were dumb, but we knew what that meant. You're not putting any effort into it. The Word of God is worth, now listen to me, the Word of God is worth your all. Because the Word of God is Jesus Christ. And He is worthy of all. All. And that's connected to my what? Happiness. What a picture is given to us. I wish we had time in our series. I don't know. I think I may be finished with it tonight. But it's just been a blessing to me to go through those Psalms and look at the different places where it's used. As a matter of fact, there is a prayer that all Hasidic Jews pray. They pray Psalm 145 and Psalm 84 together. And they call it the Ashrei reading three times a day. Prayer, the Ashrei prayer. And you know what it's about? It's about their happiness. And their happiness centered on Jehovah and His Word. Read Psalm 145. Read Psalm 84. And you'll see that beautiful picture. In verses, I believe it's 5 and 6 of Psalm 84, Ashrei is used there. Blessed, happy. Do not slip into the world of trying to find happiness in circumstances, in all the things that the world says you can find happiness in. Why are there so many famous people that die of drug abuse, alcoholism, suicide? You know what they were pursuing and trying to find? They were trying to find what they called happiness apart from Jesus Christ. And they failed. They failed. They absolutely failed. They never found it in this world because they were searching and seeking for it in all the wrong places. That's the burden of evangelism, by the way. Don't we want the world, the people of the world, to know what true happiness is? We have to introduce them to the Savior. We got to tell them about the Savior. We've got to love our Savior and it just live in our lives. I'm a follower of Christ. Not just in word, but every part of my being, decisions I make and choices I make and how I act and live before other people. Does it speak of Christ? Christ, Christ, or does it speak of me, me, me? There's no happiness there. It's only found in Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to stop there. Maybe we'll pick this up at another time, but I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you.